Welcome to Hope Community Podcast. It's great to have you join us today listening online. We pray you'll be impacted by our message this week. Enjoy.
So Lord, now we come with hearts postured to receive your word. Thanks for Deb, the way you've gifted her and led her, even in the very things to say today. So this is your moment. Come, Holy Spirit, bring light and life to our hearts and bless Deb as she comes to speak today. Amen. Amen. Can we give a rousing welcome? Deb, thanks for bringing the word today. Yeah, bless you.
G'day. I've got a word for us today, which I am very excited about, but just a little thing, as usual with me, just a little thing before we start. Hey, I'm just really overcome by the Lord's love right now. And it's overwhelming me, it's making me emotional, and I feel to share that with you today, that the Lord loves you. I think we don't even realize when we're living in a life that's full of ridicule, where we've been put down and been shamed, and things that we say get twisted, and we get blamed for things that we didn't do or we didn't mean, at least. We live in this space where we don't really expect to be loved. We don't even realize we're doing it. And then there's this revelation of the Lord that comes that is, I love you. He doesn't speak like what we're hearing around us. He doesn't speak like the ridicule when someone's lost it at us. He doesn't speak like the shame that says, you're bad, you failed. He doesn't speak like that. He calms open arms, and he's saying today over each one of us, I love you. And not only does he love us, but he just wants to be with us. He actually enjoys being with you. He actually wants to be around you. For some, that's a revelation of realizing God actually wants to be around me. He likes me that much. He likes my company that much. He just wants to be around me. So I really bless you with that as we get started today. So Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord, realize that we're doing life with you. And when we think of you, Lord, in the word, you were good at what you did. So if we're doing life with you, we are in a good place. We're in good stead, Lord. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, we're calling on you, God. We need you, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we are the first to acknowledge that words, they're not enough on their own. Lord, we need the Word of God, and we need the Holy Spirit power and anointing on your truth and on the Word of God. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray today. So open up your Bibles. We're going to read from Ezekiel 37. Yes, we are doing it again. And I am proud to say we're doing it again. If you have been in our prayer spaces here at Hope, we have done it and we have done it and we have done it and we're doing it again. And you might have noticed with a lot of speaking that's coming out at the moment that we are repeating passages. You know, as a church, Dan and Liz did that series in Exodus recently, and then Global Awakening came and they went into Exodus 2 in the same chapters, and then I was out this week somewhere else and the speaker was, he spoke on Exodus 32 too. And we were like, whoa, but the point is there is just so much in the Word that God is bringing in this season that he is taking us back to the same passage until we start to get even a part of what he's saying. So let's go back. Instead of going, oh, no, not again, let's go, what else could there be, God? What else could there be? So Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel, and they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I am going to bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Oh, that's for someone right now. God will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Now, when we read the Bible, we need to remember this is the living word. So in Hebrews 4, it talks about this is the living word. These are not just words with squiggles on a page that we read and go, that's nice. These are living words. It's like we are alive as people. We breathe, we move. God's words are living and active. So when we read them, we put them in ourselves, they actually interact on the inside of us and cause things to change on the inside of us. Do you want that? Great. So that is how we are reading this passage today. It is living and active. It's coming in. It's going to do something in us today. Now, this passage is regarding Israel. Yet, because of Jesus on the cross, because we are adopted in, we are grafted in, it is for us too. And so this is a word, this is a passage for individuals, but for us coming together as the body of Christ across the world. We have imagery and metaphors here. We're going to talk about bones today, skeletons. We're going to do it. And this is what he's doing in us. So there's several angles that we can look at in this passage. There is just so much to it, but I'm going to focus in on a couple of them today. So the first thing that you might know when you first read this passage is about the breath. Yes, coming to life, that God is bringing you to life. Now, do you have any times in your life where you truly felt alive? Just think for a minute, a moment or a time, and you felt so alive. You felt exhilarated. You had energy and passion. You weren't worried about, you know, the problems, the limits. You were feeling alive. I remember a time when I was much younger and I had a day and I was feeling so happy and joy-filled that I had a smile on my face, and you might have had this happen before, and I couldn't get it off. It was like stuck on. And so everywhere I was going that day, I had this smile on my face. It was so prominent that the shop person that I talked to looked at me odd and asked me, why are you smiling? Which seems funny, but it was just that it was so strong that she's like, there's something wrong with you. And I was able to indicate I had a reason to be this happy. So Ezekiel talks about the breath bringing bodies to life. So what's this breath in Ezekiel? So we know physically that if we are not breathing, we are dead. Spiritually then, if we are not breathing Holy Spirit, we are spiritually dead. We not only need the truth, we need spirit and truth. We talk about that here a lot in John 14. We need spirit and truth. We need the breath on it. We need to breathe in God and he will bring us to life. Now the breath is shown right in the beginning with Adam and Eve. He made them, that's great. But it wasn't until he breathed into them that they came to life. The breath of God, Holy Spirit, has to come upon us, and he is bringing this life to us. So I ask you today, do you want to come alive in God? Do you want that? I know I do. Do you want to be raised up in passion, energy for the things of God, where you experience a full freedom to live out your life according to grace? This is personal revival inside us. We're revived. We are brought to life. This is what God wants for us. And God's on the move at this time. He is doing a new thing. Now, what we mean with a new thing, because we know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How could there be a new thing? How could that be biblical? But what we're saying when he's doing a new thing is he is going to manifest the ancient things that we've heard of but haven't yet realized, haven't yet seen. So in Ezekiel, there are, you know, and in the Old Testament, many prophecies in there. They will come to pass on this earth. Prophecy of the Lord will come to pass. They will come to pass. And so the things that we've only heard of and never yet seen are the new things that we have coming and we will get to see. And they may look different to what we think of them when we hear them, and that's up to God to work out. So in Ezekiel then, what we have in the first part of that passage is we have bones all over the ground, and there's a lot of them. We're not talking about a few, so just picture it for a moment. Picture a huge number of bones on the ground. Just imagine it in your imagination. Because a human body has 206 bones in it. That's quite a few, isn't it? There were vastly more bones than that, because it says that the bones would come and form a large army. So just imagine a large army of people as scattered bones across this valley. Now, in my picture, when I'm picturing this in my imagination, you know, it says they were very dry, and I'm thinking they're on the dirt. It's very dry. And I imagine in that arid space that the wind has blown through over time and the dust has lifted up around these bones and probably settled around them. And when that happens, we know from things in our backyard that that thing that will settle in, it becomes imprinted in the ground. And that dirt is sort of packed up around it. Now, you will know in your yard, I certainly do, that when we decide that's it, it's time to move that thing that, you know, we should have moved a year ago. And now it doesn't just lift up, does it? You often have to get a pick to, you know, dig it in and lever this thing out. And that thing just is the dead weight that it is, isn't it? It feels not only like a dead weight, it feels like it's resisting your efforts to move it. That's what I imagine that these bones might be. And it's at that picture then that God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can they live? Like, that's an interesting question. They're scattered all over the ground as these dead, dry bones. Can they live? That's a big question. And there's a step-by-step process that happens for those bones to come into being a body and being alive. So we notice there with our backyards, with the things, like those things don't go well just lying there getting sunk deeper and deeper into the ground, do they? The bones have to be moved. They will have to be moved out of a rut that they are lying in. But through the word of God, when Ezekiel speaks out to the bones, he prophesies. So it says in verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And then in verse 8, it says there was a rattling sound. I think that's relevant. I think that's important, that rattling sound as the bones move together, because rattling would indicate that this was faster and more abrupt in movement than we might expect. God's word can move things that are dead. So this is speaking to a bone. It says the bones heard them. So these things are dead, dried out, and yet the word of the Lord is so penetrating that those dead things respond to what the Lord says. So another important point, now we're going to just jump over to something else we need to bring into this picture, is that God calls us the body. He calls us the body of Christ. So in Ezekiel there, we've got this concept of all these bones scattered around, and they're going to come together and form a person, which is going to come together and form an army. But in other parts of Scripture, it talks about us being the body of Christ. So we've got this overlap here of the army of the Lord, but the body of Christ. Does that make sense? So in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that, and we are going to read it through a fair bit of it. So in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12, we'll skip a bit here and there. It says, there is one body, but it has many parts, but all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. So the body is not made up of just one part, but many parts. And suppose the foot says, I'm not a hand. Listen carefully. It says, I am not a hand, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. That's for someone. Suppose the ear says, I am not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as He wanted it to be. If all the parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Right? The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, it is the opposite. Amen for this word from God. Amen. It is the opposite. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are the ones we can't do without. The parts that we think are less important, we treat with special honor. The private parts aren't shown, but they are treated with special care. The parts that can be shown don't need the special care, and God has put together all the parts of the body. And then in 27, it says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you, each one of us here is part of it. So I believe that God is forming us into the army of the Lord. I believe that what I hear from God is that He is changing His wording. Yes, we need this concept of body of Christ, but He's overlaying that phrase, body of Christ, with army of the Lord, because it's no longer time to go, oh, this is my place and this is where I fit and it's all love and roses and daisies. That's beautiful and that's necessary, but it goes much further than that. We are the army of the Lord, which means that we have a mission that we are to get up and do. And an army is, as you know, is strong. And that's what He's trying to put us into right now, to stop thinking as limited in thinking, where do I fit and feel nice and feel like I fit. That's relevant and good, but it's so much more than that to thinking, because I'm part of something that matters. We're called to attention, we've got a mission, and we're good for it. We're good for it. So before we are revived then, where we get this breath that we're talking about, where we come to life, we have to be aligned. The bones have to be moved into place. So that's your question now. Will you allow God to move you into place? Will you allow God to align you with Him and therefore within the body? It's both. When something is created, you know, it must be put together and all the parts align just so before it's powered up. So one of our sons years ago decided he wanted to build a computer. And I didn't have to be involved. So that was okay, that was good. But this was a big effort to find all the parts, and he spent many hours then putting these parts just so in where they needed to go. And it was then that he could put that into the socket, turn it on, and then it has blessed him with many gaming hours since. And it worked. And we have a car recently, and it is currently taken apart, and it is laid all out in many parts, and it has been for a very long time. It is at the mechanic, so it is costing a lot. And we are hoping and praying that they would put those parts in back just so, with the new parts, so that when they turn the ignition, that car will run, right? Amen. That would be great. Thank you, Jesus. We claim that. So God's wanting to revive us, but for it to go well, we need our parts aligned in him so that when that breath comes, you know, other prophets, they're talking about a wave coming. There is a wave coming. Will we be able to catch that wave? Will we be able to be revived if we are in line with God? And I do have a bit of a fear. It's not good to fear, but it's like a concern for those who are not willing to align with God, because that wave will come and it's like the power switch has been turned on in them and nothing happens. They will be here amidst it and experience no powering up, no change. And I believe too, in that place, those ones will be severely tempted to judge then the wave and breath coming into those around them as well. Now, a couple of weeks ago, God spoke to me with a question, and I did share it here in worship. But it's really important. It's really part of this word, and so I want to share it with you again. And God started this by asking me a question. Do you want change in your life? And so I'm just putting that out, lots of questions today. Do you want change in your life? Just think about it for a moment. I know I do. I was a, yes, Lord, this is great. He is on my page here. He's asking me just what I want to hear. So I'm like, I know I do. And he responded to me and said, people want change in their life, but what they're asking for of me and what they're willing for is change around their life. They want their circumstances to change. But he said, I have come to bring something far superior because I want to bring change in their life. And this change will be so powerful that circumstances pale. Wouldn't that be great? And no longer matter. That the circumstances of life will no longer have power to restrict, to shut, or prevent my people from living fully alive and victorious in their life. They can come alive. And then he showed me a picture, and you'll have seen it on TV before, and it's where there's a flood. I feel like these come around nearly every year now. We have a flood, and there's those raging, rushing floodwaters, and we see the person in the middle of that flood, and they have their arms wrapped around a tree or a pole, and they are hanging on for their life, because if they let go, they will be washed away. They will, if they let go of that pole. So they are hanging on. But then we see this emergency worker near them. The emergency worker has their arms outstretched and they're saying, come with me. They might even be saying, you'll have to let go. Come with me, come with me. They are there to rescue them, but the person won't let go of the pole. They're terrified. They might even be frozen in fear and they won't let go of the pole, but what they need is to be rescued. And so that's what God's talking about. That person there, they want change, don't they? They want to be out of that flood. They want to be safe. They don't want to be fearing of whether they're going to live or die. But yet they won't let go and let that rescue worker take them through that flood and out. So the person wants to change. They're not allowing themselves to be moved. And they just want that situation to disappear. So it's a bit like watching on the news now. We see the person clutching to the pole. We see the rescue person there, ready to help, capable to help. And then what the person is wanting is poof, and it's all gone. And they're standing on dry land and they go, oh, I don't have to hold this pole anymore. I'll just walk off home. But God has a better way. So movement, that person is needing God to move them. And movement, we find, is scary. We use terms all the time like, it's a bit outside my comfort zone. I do it. I say this stuff. It's outside my comfort zone. I'm feeling unsettled. I know there's many here, you're feeling unsettled. There's a lot of movement. As a prophetic person, that's my forte. Feel every change and shift, and so I'm feeling very unsettled. Unsettled isn't bad. Unsettled is, change is happening. That's not bad. We need to become friends with unsettled's okay. Unsettled's okay. So this movement is necessary. Movement is necessary to come into life with God for us. So just like my picture of the bones in Ezekiel, where the bones are imprinted on the ground, that movement is required in our lives. And it's not going to be a lovely, that feels good. Because they rattled. The bones rattled. And so there's a rattling, an unsettling, a clanging. It might be noisy. It will confront our comforts, our desire for safety, our sense of safety. It'll be outside our paradigm of how it should be. And you know what? We are likely to be automatically resistant. Just like that thing in the ground and you're like trying to get that thing up and out and it feels like it's pushing against you. There's a natural resistance there through its dead weight. We are like that. It's okay. If you're feeling a bit of wrestle, like, I don't want to be resistant, it's so bad that I am, it's okay. God knew that. And that's why he's coming with such strong word that will rattle us. And he'll go beyond our resistance if we say yes. Now, added to this, we're going to be naturally resistant. We're not comfortable. And we don't know where we're going. So the person in that picture hanging on to that pole, they need to be rescued. They need to be out through that flood. But when they clutch and turn and let that rescue person take them, do they know where they're going? They don't actually know where they're going. They know enough of where they're going to say, it'll be good. But in terms of where they're going, if they're going over to that part of the land or they're going out this way or they're going to go up in, they don't know. They don't actually know where they're going to get taken. And that's what we've got to come to terms with too. We have to be able to be moved. It's uncomfortable. And God might not say where we're going, but it will be good. So a while ago, something happened in my life where out of nowhere, I was faced with feeling like my safe place was gone. And I came to realize, took a couple of weeks, and that's okay. If you take a couple of weeks, that's okay. Took a couple of weeks, and I realized one morning I'd responded by being very afraid. So I'd shut down. But I'd been very afraid and I didn't know what was going to happen. So, you know, I did what I think a good Christian does and I went to the Lord and asked him, what's going to happen? I thought that was a really good thing to do. And you know what? He didn't tell me. And so I'm feeling shut down. I'm afraid. I don't feel like I have a safe place. I'm going to the Lord, which is where we should go. What's going to happen, God? And he won't tell me. And you might be thinking, that's not kind. Isn't God kind? That's not kind, but it is kind. because he wanted me to journey with him. He just wanted me to move with him in my heart, align with him as being the one that I trust, even though it feels like everything else in life is lost. He was very kind in withholding what I wanted because he was bringing me into a trust. And you know, he actually did tell me. He said to me, verse 6, I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life and you will know I am the Lord. So God's word to me was he would add to me, he would put breath in me, he would bring me to life and I would know him. Amen. So the movement for me was internal. I needed to shift my trust. I needed to let go of relying on certain things for my safety, and I needed to see things differently. I needed to see and realize things I didn't know before. The change was within. But some of the movement happening in this time is very practical as well. And often the practical, if God's calling you to a practical, you need to be aware that if he's calling you to a practical, it will require significant internal change. And so if you're trying, I'm just going off a bit here with the Lord. If you're trying to go through a change with you're not allowing the internal change to happen, it won't work. You will hit a wall and fall back down. It'll be like you're racing, like, yes, I'm going forward. You're just going to slam into a wall and fall over and be injured. Internal change is required to effectively transition through the practical change. And many of you are being called to practical change right now, and you need to be able to do the internal change with God. You will need to do that. Okay, so God is moving us into position. Each one of us is being moved and shifted into position. He's aligning you with him so he can breathe life into you and bring you to life and put you on mission. So I'm just going to go back to the other thing a bit. Transition. There is a lot of transition happening right now, and some people feel like they just can't get over the barrier. They can't make the transition. This is a word for you. If you're stuck, you're wanting to go forward, you're like, I've been on this merry-go-round a lot. It's time for internal change. What the Lord puts within you, when it comes up and bubbles up, it then overflows and causes external change in the world. And God has put stuff in each one of us that is meant to come out and overflow and affect and impact the world. And you are called to that. So yes, your sense of going, I'm meant to be more, I'm meant to go further, is right. And that wall that you keep hitting is simply just an effect of, I haven't got the internal change to build that capacity so that it overflows and pushes me through what that is. Because it's not you that makes you go through the transition. It's the bubbling up of what God does in us that busts out and pushes us through the transition. So you might be feeling out of place right now. You might have felt like you've lost your place right now. You might feel like movement's happening all around you and over your life and you've got no say and no control. There are significant shifts happening all over because it's a season of alignment. So there's opportunity for each of us to come into alignment with the Lord, and this will also result in alignment with those who are right for us. All these bones in that picture are all of us being put back together and rising up together. Now we have to acknowledge, this is very important, some things that are happening with movement around us right now are wrong. I've had it, and I know others in this room, you've got it going on too. Here I am saying, God's moving you. I am not saying that all of the things happening to you are of God. They are not. There are bad things happening, because when we're unsettled and we're unsure and we're unclear, we can misinterpret things and in doing so hurt each other. And so people are experiencing a sense of being, you know, maybe pushed out or rejection, or you've just been crushed in some way. and that's not of the Lord. But I don't know if you've been getting this verse, but Genesis 50:20 says that what the enemy meant for evil, I will turn for good. And that is a verse that has been spoken of every day at this time. So take that claim over your life that this negative thing, what the enemy meant for evil, God is doing alignment in this season. And so he will turn that negative thing and he will make it good in my life. God does the moving. If you look at that valley, those bones did not just get up and move themselves. They didn't just suddenly decide to move and know where to go. It was the word of God. So it was God that moved the bones. What you are after in your life with the shift and change is done by the Lord. He does the moving. Often we're like, I'm meant to be this, and I'm here, and I want to be there. And so we go about manufacturing and making, and I'm going to talk to this person, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to set this up and make it happen. That's not God's way. He does the moving. We do the surrendering. The moving happens when that thing inside us bubbles up and comes out and busts us forth. That's the Lord. So we will truly be part of the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head. We will be free to bring our part, led by God, and it is valued. It is valued. It is crucial, in fact, for the body to function well. So you are needed where the Lord has you. You are needed. You are valued. And by you coming into line with the Lord, it's beautiful. You get to execute what God has for your sphere and your part. You will bring witness to God, and he will receive the glory he deserves. So good. When we're missing a leg, so say we're talking about ourselves as a body, if we're missing a leg, we will find it very hard to move easily and walk, won't we? If we're missing simply a muscle in our forearm, we will find it very difficult just to do the groceries. If we're missing a fingernail, some of us will have experienced that. We've missed a fingernail and suddenly I can't open that drink. All sorts of random fine motor activities we never thought of can't happen from the fingernail. We need the whole body. Every part, you, me, everyone is part of this and everyone is required. It's not just up to a person who is the heart, who might share God's love, you know, through a powerful word, or the lung that releases Holy Spirit breath. It's not just up to a heart and lung. That doesn't go far, does it? If you picture a heart and lung and no body, we need the whole body around that. So we're not talking about things happening because we have a few great leaders or something. We need everybody for this to work together. So this is a messy season. Things are happening. They're shocking. They might take you by surprise. Don't react. Hold your fort. Do not react, but run to the Father. Go there. Tell him about it. Tell him all about it. He knows what's going on. He knows everything there, and he knows how to look after you through the challenges. And in that place of surrender, that's where we let go of that pole. We're allowing him, our rescuer, to take us and move us. Jesus is the head of the body. Where does the breath come from into a person? It comes through the head. And we need Holy Spirit breath to come in and bring us to life. So if I can get the band to come up, that'd be great. We need Holy Spirit to come into us and breathe into us. But oh, don't you want to be aligned? Don't you want to be like the car that is all put together so that when you turn that ignition switch, there comes the hum of the engine. It's good to go. Don't you want to be that? Nothing worse than putting something together and then you turn the switch. You put everything in the blender for breakfast smoothie. You turn the switch and nothing happens. So we're going to pray about this. Come, Holy Spirit. We just want to be aligned, Lord. We want to be aligned for your breath to come and bring us to life. We want to be aligned, Lord. So we say, yes, Lord, move us. Even if it rattles. Lord, I pray for grace for ourselves, compassion for ourselves when we're resistant to the moving. Because you knew we were like that. And yet you are bigger and stronger. And if we just give you a yes, if we give you a yes, you know what you're doing, God. I don't like it. It's not comfortable. But I give you a yes, God. Your word will move us. And so, Lord, we want to surrender. We want to be a people of surrender and let you do your work within us. Thank you, Lord, that we get to live from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, that transition, that movement that we also need to go forward into something else, that will happen out of a place of surrender. That will happen out of your good work in us that just bursts out and causes us to be into the next space. Thank you that we do not have to move ourselves. We simply have to surrender in obedience to you, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray over the ones here who in this season of shifting and transition have been hurt by something that's wrong. Lord, we pray that you would come, Jesus, that you would come alongside them and help them to forgive the ones or the situation or whatever it is, to forgive and to turn to you, Lord, and to come and look into your eyes and say, the enemy meant evil for me, but I know that you are here and you are going to turn this for good in my life. And Lord, I pray over those ones that when they look at you, they can surrender to your care and know you will turn it for good in their lives, that you will look after them and that you will move them, Lord. But ultimately, Lord, we just love you. We love you, Lord, so much. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come and do what you want to do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us, Lord God.
Thanks so much for listening to Hope Community Podcasts. We hope you enjoyed today's message and remember to subscribe to the channel to keep up to date. From everyone here at Hope Community, have the best week.